800-222-KBC. So the president yesterday actually teared up as he was talking about the various tragedies involving gun violence in America. This is a little of what that sounded like.
First graders in Newtown. First graders. And from every family who never imagined that their loved one would be taken from our lives by a bullet from a gun. Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad.
And of course, he was talking specifically about Sandy Hook Elementary in Connecticut. But obviously very emotional. And announcing executive actions on guns. Now, whether or not these are substantive remains to be seen. It doesn't appear that way to me, but a man on the newsmaker line, well, this is an expert on this. He wrote the book, More Guns and Less Crime, crimeresearch.org, the president of Crime Prevention Research Center, John Lott. Mr. Lott, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, good to talk to you again.
Thank you for coming
Happy
on. Yeah, same to you, sir. So, John, it doesn't seem to me that what the president proposed is it certainly doesn't constitute a gun grab in the sense that gun confiscation. It expands the definition of who's would require to be a licensed gun dealer. But it also doesn't appear to me that it would have prevented any of the crimes that he talked about.
That's exactly right. I mean, even if he had his ideal legislation, it would be unrelated to any of the crimes that he's spoken about, not just yesterday, but over the years. None of the mass public shootings in the United States that he's talked about, none of them during his administration, none of them during George Bush's administration, would have been stopped by having these types of laws. And I guess, you know, I look at this and I think, unfortunately, the main reason why he's pushing these rules isn't to solve those problems. It's just to make it more costly for people to go and be able to obtain guns. And in California, the expanded background checks that you have there add about $80 under the cost of somebody transferring a gun. And in Washington, D.C., where the president was, the rules there add about $125 under the cost of transferring a gun. It doesn't stop you or I from being able to go and obtain a gun, but the people that my research indicates benefit the most from owning guns, law-abiding, poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas, the ones who are most likely to be victims of violent crimes, adding $80 or $125 onto the cost of obtaining a gun may make a real difference between whether or not those individuals are going to be able to defend themselves or not.
John, Wayne LaPierre, who, of course, is the head of the NRA and a polarizing figure, but he issued a video responding to the president where he was basically defending the NRA and saying, look, for decades, the NRA has been lobbying and proselytizing for the strict enforcement of the current gun laws. And he was using Chicago as an example. And LaPierre's point is that we have every law on the book now that if the feds would enforce it, they could round up thousands and thousands of felons who are not supposed to be in the possession of handguns or any kind of gun, and the feds don't do that. Two questions. One, is he right about that? And two, if he is right, why won't the feds enforce the current gun laws?
Yeah. I mean, I do think the current gun laws are being enforced by the federal government at the rate. But here's the problem, and both sides are to blame on this, using these numbers for different reasons. The big problem with lack of, quote, enforcement at the federal level is the claim that you have, you know, 2.4 million prohibited people that have been prevented from buying guns because of background checks. And each of those would have been a crime that would have been occurring. Yet, you know, the number of prosecutions that you have are like a tiny fraction of 1%. The reason why you only have a tiny fraction of 1% being prosecuted is because they're not real cases. What you should say is there are 2.4 million initial denials. You know, it's kind of like Ted Kennedy, he was on the no-fly list five times stopped from flying. Would you count that as five times you stopped a terrorist from flying? No. He simply had a name similar to someone you wanted to stop. And those background checks, what's happening is you're stopping not the felon who wanted to buy the gun, but you're stopping somebody who had a name similar to a felon that you wanted to stop. And so, but beyond that, with regard to the president's comments, it just drives me nuts. He goes and he says, look at what's happening in Chicago, the huge violence there, and that's the reason why we need to have these background check rules. Illinois already has those rules and more. So why would you point to Chicago then? All those gangs getting guns aren't being stopped by the very law that the president wants to make nationwide. Just like he points to these mass public shootings in California and Colorado and Oregon, each of those states already have the law that he wants to have nationwide. And so, again, the bizarre thing is there's a disaster. It's occurred. They already have the law that he wants to have nationwide to stop these things, and he's using the disaster that occurs in the states that already has the law to say this is why we need the law in other places.
We're talking with John Lott, who's the president of Crime Prevention Research Center and author of More Guns and Less Crime, crimeresearch.org. I look at it as that this is a legacy issue for the president, that he wants to take some kind of action. He's frustrated that he wasn't able to get sweeping gun legislation after Sandy Hook Elementary. And in fact, the political reality is, and I don't think that the president and supporters want to face this reality, is that there are millions and millions of Democrats who are gun owners who don't support him. They just don't support him. They might pay lip service to it, but they don't support him.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at the latest Gallup poll, only 2% of Americans think that additional gun control is a major issue in the campaign. Look, I know Obama. When we both taught at the University of Chicago Law School, overlapped for 4 years during the late 1990s there. I know his views on guns. The first time I met him, his comment to me was he did not believe Americans should be able to own guns. Not over whether it was wise for them to
right.
own guns, but that they shouldn't be able to own any guns. And, you know, I look at these things, these rules that he has, as we've said, it doesn't actually address any of the examples that he talked about. What they do is they impose effective taxes, large taxes, that particularly disarm law-abiding Americans. And it's just not this. He's done all sorts of other things. So, for example, we talk about those 2.4 million denials that are there, and that virtually all those are law-abiding citizens who should have been able to buy a gun, but there was a mistake that stopped them. In past administrations, they would eventually recognize that they had made a mistake and tell you and then release you to go and buy a gun again. Obama's not doing that. He's forcing people to go and hire lawyers. That can cost thousands of dollars. That, again, that may not stop you or I from being able to go and hire a lawyer, but who gets stopped? Again, it's poor blacks, poor minorities who can't afford a couple thousand dollars to get through the legal hassle that the president's put up. He's put up all these rules that essentially disarm the most vulnerable people in our society. And, you know, he talks about smart guns yesterday. The cheapest ones that are out there right now that he wants people to have to buy are like $1,800. And they're all sorts of technical. Police would never use these things because they can be jammed by criminals and other problems that arise from them. Who do you think is going to be disarmed by having guns that you have to cost $1,800 for people to go and buy?
All right, John. Crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. John Lott, thanks so much for coming on with us. We always appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
Okay.